The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Kaf Aleph. Today's daf is being studied in Mishmat Mozik and Yusuf Ben Sarav Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther Barat Sakanati Efer Batzara. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Begin Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fuach Shilema. Moshe Ben Dina, Sarah Ruhama, Batrachal, Sarah Batrachal. Enna refer to the name for the nefesh, for the guf. For Atam Kribal, Ken Yinasum Anaman. Amen. We are on Chaf Amud Bet. We are starting Ba'ed Ami Bar Hamma. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Ba'ed Ami Bar Hamma. Hayu Muhzakin Betavla Shei Shela. She had a tablet, piece of wood, right? A ledger, actually, we're called. And everybody knew that the ledger belonged to the lady. Right? She's Muhzak. She's the one that's holding the ledger. Everybody knows it's her ledger. The get katuv aliha, and behold, there's a get written on this ledger. Vehadi yotzah mitachat yado, and now he's the one that's giving the get. So the question is, mao? What's the law? She says vehadi yotzah mitachat yado shehu bali garesha. Only problem is he's coming to be garesha with an item that the hazakah is hers. Mm-hmm. You cannot be Megadesh with something that belongs to the lady. Pasuk says, Venatan. So now over here, you're not giving her anything. You're not. So the question is, how is this going to work? What's the deen? Mi amrinan. Do we say, Aknuye aknita le? Do we say that she must have been makne the get to the husband? I mean, she can gift it or acquire it to the husband, and therefore it's his item. That's what you could assume, because you want the get to work, right? So the only way the get can work over here is if the lady is makneh the tabla to the husband. Do you assume that that's what she did? Or dilma, or do you say lo yada le'aknuye? Do you say that she doesn't know that she has to be makneh? Tosfot says, Perush bedavar shehu mahzir la velo gamra umikniya le ela betulat she'ela. Since she's getting it back, so she doesn't know the law that she has to mamash acquire it to him as a kenyan. So if anything, she'll just like lend it to him. And that's not enough. I mean, she's thinking anyway, I'm getting it back anyway. So what am I giving it to him for? I'm going to get it back in a second. So therefore, she doesn't makne it full heartedly. She just gives it to him temporarily, which is not good for a get. Look at that she. Lo yad'a la'aknuye. Lo gamra umikneya davar she'en biliba latet matana gemura. She doesn't acquire something to the husband that she knows that he's not going to have it in totality because she's getting it back. Velo girsha ela b'shela. Comes out, she's only getting divorced with something that belongs to her. Be'anan ba'inan v'natan. But the pasuk says v'natan, which means it's got to come from the husband. So that is the she'ela on the table over here. An item that we know belonged to her. And all of a sudden we see the husband divorcing her with that item. But that tabla. She'ela, does the lady makne the item back to the husband so it'll be considered his so she can get divorced? Or do we say that since anyway it's not going to be the husband's forever, it's anyway coming back to her, so therefore she doesn't know to be mekne it completely. If anything, maybe she'll just like lend it to him, and therefore it's not going to be considered a get. What's the hasaron over here in the get? It's not venatan. comes to Gemara and says, we'll bring some proofs here. Amar Abaye, Tashema, Af hu he'id al tkefar katan shehaya besad Yerushalayim. והיה בו זקן אחד והיה מלווה לכל בני הכפר. There was a certain village next to Jerusalem, and there was a certain zakin over there, and he used to be the lender of the kfar. He would lend money to the people of the kfar. וכותב בכתב ידו, he would write the shtarot, ואחרים חותמים. And of course, other people would sign, would get signatures as well. Which means he already is writing the shtar. According to some Nishin, the explanation is he writes the shtar, you know, I lent so and so money over here, etc. And as a result, once you have a shtar, not only is he able to collect the money that is owed to him, but is even able to go after property. Right? That's called mishu'badim. The only problem is that who writes the shtar? The one that's being makneh. His item has to write the shtar. Usually the lender, by writing the shtar, I'm sorry, the one that's borrowing, writes the shtar, and the logic is that he's mekneh his fields over to the lender. In this case over here, it was the lender that was writing the shtar. So therefore, who's being mekneh the fields over for the shabud? So the Gemara says, Uba ma'aseh lefnei hachamim. And the case came in front of the rabbis, v'chshiru. And the rabbi said, even though the lender is writing the shtar, the fields of the borrower are mishu'bad. So the Gemara says, v'amai haba'inan sefer mikna v'lecha. What do you mean? You need a mikna, you need him to be makneh the fields over. And through what is he being makneh the fields over? Usually when he writes the shtar, he's makneh over. Here the shtar is being written by the lender. Ela la mishum damrin aknuyem makneh lehu. Ela, we're going to say, well, what's the mechanics? That you're right, the zakein who was lending the money wrote the shtar, but he's makneh the shtar to the borrower, and therefore it's considered as if the borrower is giving him the shtar. So therefore, the shtar really belongs to the borrower because he was makneh to him, and therefore he gives it over. He's makneh the fields to the lender. So you see what? There is a concept that a person does mekneh the shtar over to somebody else. Now Tosfot over here, just to show you the shitot here, holds you don't say this by a loan. You don't need this mechanics by a loan that the lender has to give the shtar, so to speak, in order to be mekneh the mishu'badim. He learns the case a little differently. He learns that since this zakin would be the lender of the town, people would sell him fields as a result, meaning they're doing him favors as well. He's lending money to them, so they're going to sell him pieces of real estate and things like that. So when they would sell him a piece of real estate, who would write the shtar? The zakin. So the Gemara is saying, how can the zakin write the shtar? He's the one receiving. The one that's selling, he's got to makneh the field to the shtar. So he says, no, the zakin wrote it, and you have to say that what? That he was makneh the shtar to the seller, hence the sale of the fields went through. So you see again the concept that what? That we do say that even though the zakin wrote the shtar, he gifts it, or he makneh the shtar to the seller of the fields, and therefore it works. Similarly, say the case by the lady. That what? That even though it was her item, her tabla, husband wrote a get on it, gave the get back to her, you have to assume that what? She was makneh it to him in order that the get will be a legitimate get. So comes the, let's just look at Rashi for a second. Ha ba'ina sefer mikna v'deka she ha-makneh sarich lichtov et tashtar. Right, the rule is, the one that's selling, the one that's giving over, has to write the shtar. Either he's giving over the liens on his property, or he's mamash, like Tosafot says, giving over his field. But over here, it was the receiver that was writing it. Eli, you have to say, was makneim the shtar. So comes Gemara and says, Amar Rava. Rava comes along and says, Umay kushya, which means, what is your proof? No proof from this. Dilma Zaken Shani Viadada Aknuye. Yeah, I'll tell you, Zaken is a Tamir Hakam. That guy knew the law. He knew exactly that he has to be Makdima. Maybe a lady is not keen on this law over here. You can't bring me a person who's having a Zaken that knew that he had to be Makdima the Shtar to the seller of the fields. That's she, top line. Shani Zaken Shani Diadala Aknuye Shiwa Hakam. He knows he's got to gift it to him completely. She'll give it over to her husband, but she doesn't give it over in totality. She's lending it. What's the logic? She said, I'm getting it back anyway, so I'm going to gift it to him totally. But otherwise, it's not going to work. So I said, Zaken knows the mechanics that he has to be makneh the shtar over to the seller of the field. But maybe not the lady. Doesn't matter, but it has to be the husband's. This get belonged to the lady. You have signatures on shtarot.
So can you say that's where it's makneh?
No. But the one that's giving over his field has to be the one that's giving over the shtar. It has to be his shtar. In order to be makneh the field. It has to be the one that's giving it over. So comes Gemara and says, Ela Amar Rava. Mehacha. I'll give you another proof. Arev hayotze le'achar chitum shtarot gove menechasim benechorin. What's the case? Arev literally is a guarantor. What's the case? Look at Rashi on the third line. Le'achar chitum shtarot da'ad shenechtam ashtar. It was a shtar between a malve and a love. Right? I owe you $1,000. And the edim signed the shtar. Katav Arif Ktav Yado. Under the signatures, he writes, Va'ani Arif. And I guarantee. So now, how much is he committing to? So that she says, Govea Malvim Menu, the lender can go to the guarantee, Menechasim Benechorin. He can only go to regular assets. He cannot go to real estate. Why? Because since he signed after the witnesses, you can only go after fields if there's a call, if there's a voice, if there's people talking that know that this guy became a guarantor, that means people know that his fields are leaned. How do you get a call? How do you get a voice to people to talk? When you have a shtar with witnesses that document that. Since this guy did not sign before the witnesses signed, he signed after the witnesses, so it's just like a verbal agreement that he's going to be an arev. Oh, so therefore the Gemara says you can only collect from the arev b'nehorin. You can't go after his real estate. But there's a point over here. It's just like a regular loan that's verbal. They can only go after money. Alma, but what do you see from here? Kol adam namim makne. Dehai hai shtarak shechatam bo arev la'achar zeman kibar ya masul malve. Who's holding the shtar at this point when the arev signed? The malve. The lender holds the shtar, right? Because he's the one that gets paid. He gets paid. When he comes along and says, va'ani arev, the shtar has to be in his possession in order to commit to the guarantee. But the shtar now already belongs to the malve. And they have to say that the malve at that point is makneh the shtar to the arev, and therefore he's obligated to pay. He's mishabed himself, which means he's obligated. So what obligates himself? So that she writes, Ve'ach nechse arev hazeh mishtabim bo v'abein an sefer mikna. You need a shtar. The shtar is doing the hakna'ah. But the shtar doesn't belong to arev. Again, when did he sign this shtar, the arev? After the loan was already done. The malveh has a shtar in his possession with witnesses. Yeah, you owe me $1,000. Comes the arev, and he signs on the bottom under the signatures, va'ani arev, and I am guaranteeing. What are you talking about? To mishabed himself to guarantee the loan, he's got to have a sefer mikna, he's got to have the shtar. He doesn't have the shtar, it's the malveh's. And he have to say what? The malveh must be makneh the shtar to the arev in that case. Oh, so you see what? Even a regular guy knows the law. You don't need necessarily a zakin, like we said in the other story. So just like a regular guy, malveh's not to be hakam, knows that you have to be makneh the shtar. So I'll say the lady also. Tanat the Gemara says, Dilma Gavra Shani. Maybe a man is different than a lady. Maybe the men know the law, not necessarily Tamid Achamim, but men know the law. But maybe the lady, not necessarily. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ela Amar Rav Ashi." So here we're trying to figure out the case of the get.
How does the woman know?
Does the woman do it or not? Oh, that's okay. The she'ela. It's actually a beferush mishnah. Isha kotevet et gita. A lady is allowed to write her own get. And that she says, but what do you mean? If she's writing her own get, the husband's not giving her anything. So that she says, and then she's makne it to the husband, fully. Va'ish kotev et shovro. And for that matter, the lady, the man, is able to write the receipt that the lady received her ketubah. And then he's able to makne that receipt to the lady. The lady needs the receipt, and the man needs the get. So the Mishnah is just saying, the lady could write the get and makne it to the husband, and the husband writes the receipt as makne it to the wife. But what do you see over here? You see over here that what? She knows that she has to be makne. She'en kiyum get ela b'chotamav. Okay, this is, of course, you have to sign witnesses also on these documents over here, because a shtar is not a shtar unless you have kiyum over here. But what do you see over here? We answered the question. That what? That indeed the lady knows the law of hakna'ah. That's why the Mishnah says kotev. Kotev it again. Only problem is, these earlier rabbis didn't know b'ferush Mishnah and Masechet Ketubot. I mean, it's an obvious question. Until Rav Asher came, they didn't know that a lady could write her own get? So the Tosafot asked this question on Chaf Amud Bet. Look at Tosafot. Isha lo yada. It's the second Tosafot to the bottom. I'm looking at the Im Tomar in that Tosafot. The Im Tomar. The Chi lo yada matnitin the Ketubot. Wait, they didn't know the answer from the Mishnah Ketubot. The Pashit mineh besamuk da isha kotevet et gita. Once you have a Mishnah that says the lady writes the get, that automatically tells us that what she's making it to the husband. What's the she'ela? V'yesh lomar. Temati ledehoye de kotevet al klaf de baal ela shenotenet schara ketiva. I could have learned the Mishnah that what really the klaf belongs to the husband. Also, what does it mean that she writes it? She pays for it. So that we have no ra'ayah, that what? That it's working with being makneh the shtar. The shtar belongs to the husband. That's why Rav Asher comes and says, no. You know what pshat in that Mishnah is? That not only is she paying for it, but the klaf itself belongs to her. Oh, and still we're saying it's okay. Must be she knows the law that she has to be makneh. So there were two ways, really, you could have learned that Mishnah of Asher is telling us how. So we answered the original question. Now we go to the next case. Amar Rava. Katav laget. Not the get. V'natno biyad avdo. Now this is not like the case of the Mishnah where he wrote the get on the Eved himself. This is the way he wrote a regular get. Gave it to the Eved. Eved Kanani is considered property. V'katav lashtar matana alav. And then he writes that he's gifting the Eved to his wife. Kan atahu. So simultaneously she acquires the Eved umitgareshet bo. And at that moment she also becomes migureshet. Why? Because we look at the Eved like karka, like real estate. Now, we have a law that says, if somebody throws the get into the lady's possession, chatzer is koneh. And therefore, the domain of a person is koneh. That can make an acquisition. I mean, the get doesn't have to actually reach her hands necessarily, so long as it is in her domain. Like we learned yesterday, a case where a guy throws the get, and it's in the four amot of the lady in cases like that. So now, what did he do? He gave her a chaser and a get simultaneously. The Eved belonged to him. So he's then, and the Eved's holding a get in his head. So he's makne, he gifts to her the Eved. Once the Eved becomes hers, now she has a chaser and there's a get in the hand of the Eved. So therefore, the rule would be, Gita ba chatzera ba'im ke'echad. her get and her hatser come simultaneously, and therefore she is divorced. Now she says, Alav, ala evid, kan atahu le'evid b'shtar matana zeh, she acquires the evid with the shtar matana, ve'aget shebiyado, and then the get that's in his hand, da'avi le'hai evid kahatsera, the evid has a status like it's her courtyard, v'gita v'hatsera ba'ula ke'had, so they came simultaneously, and therefore it works, which means it's considered that the husband gave her the get. By giving the chatzir with the get in it, it's considered still vinatan. It's happening at the same time. To that, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'amai, how's it work? Chatzir mehalecheti, it's a moving chatzir. It's not a regular chatzir that's stationary. It's a moving chatzir because if it is animated, it moves. Ve'chatzir mehalechet lo kana. And we have a rule that a chatzir mehalechet lo kana. Look at Rashi. Dechi amur rabbanan chatzero shel adam konelo. That which we say the chatzir of a person is konefim, lav v'chatzir mehalechet amur. Start talking about a movable chatzir. Deshani mekarke ede naidi, mekarke ede lo naidi. There's a difference between karka that moves and karka that doesn't move. So therefore it shouldn't be koneh. Dechi tema be'omed. So maybe you'll tell me the case is talking about where the Eved is standing, he's stationary, he's not moving. Ve'amarava, kol she'ilu mehalech lo kana, omed v'yoshev lo kana. That if he is able to move, even though he is standing, it is not a kinyan. The Gemara answers, ve'elcheta bechafut. You have to say that the Eved was tied up, so therefore he can't move. Therefore, it's considered like a regular, non-movable chatzir. Tosfot adds to the case that says you have to be, he's tied up and sleeping. And therefore, he's considered like a regular chatzir, and therefore the kinyan is a kinyan. Rashi says, v'chafut de'enu ra'ui lehalech. Now he's not even ra'ui, and when he's sleeping, he's not able to walk. So again, halacha, we learn from this din, you give the get to the eved, tie him up, wait till he goes to sleep, give the shtar, be makne the eved to the wife. So at the same time that she acquires the eved, now it's like she's acquiring non-movable karka. She acquired a chatzer. The get is in her chatzer, and therefore she is indeed divorced. Comes the Gemara and says, in the name of Rava, the Amar Rava, similar case, katav la get. Wrote his wife a get. V'natno b'chatzero. This time he put the get in his own courtyard. Not in an eved, it's in his field. V'chatav l'ashtar matana alav. And then he writes a gift. Meaning he's gifting the field, his field to his wife. Kan atahu u'mitgareshet bo. So she's kone his chatzer. Once she's kone the chatzer, now she has a chatzera v'gita ba'im ke'ahad. Now, what do you need this case for? We just gave the case of Eved. It's the same mechanics, seemingly. So the Gemara says, v'sericha. You need both cases. The case of the Eved and the case of the Hatzer. Di ashmi'inan Eved. If you gave me the just case of the Eved, hava amina, davka Eved. Maybe only in the case of an Eved, I'll say it works. Aval Hatzer, but when it comes to courtyards, ligzar mishum Hatzera, I'm going to make a gezerah to a case of chatzir that won't be good. Literally, chatzirah, her chatzir that comes afterwards. What's that case? Look at Rashi. Chatzirah ba'al le'achar mikan. Kigon. Natan la'get b'chatzir chavero. He put the get in somebody else's field. B'chatzir shel chavero. Now that guy who owns the chatzir, it's not the husband, right? It's his friend. He goes and sells the lady the chatzir. For sure, that's no gerushin. Why? Who's giving the divorce? When he put the get in the field, it was not a field. He put it in his friend's chatzir. And if at the time of the netina nothing happened, the tiknula hatsera ki'ilu notno biyada, which normally they said when he's makneha the hatser. What's the mechanics? When the husband's makneha the hatser, we consider as if he put the get in her hand. Right? Just like if he puts the get in her hand, it's megureshin. So when he gifts her the field, and there's a get in the field, we look at it as if he put the get in her hand. But here, what did he do? He didn't put the get in her hatser, or his hatser, and then gift it. He put it in somebody else's hatser. Then that guy sold the hatser with a get in it. That's not considered a netina. And then what Rashi says, v'chi atai hatser liyada, when this hatser ended up coming to her hands, lav mikra habal atyale, it didn't come from the husband, denevin noten la hatser v'get b'yachad. It's not considered gita v'hatsera v'im k'yachad. You understand the case? Which means the husband put the get in his friend's hatser. That friend sold the hatser to the wife now. So there, you're right, she has a hatser now, and there's a get in it. But who gave it to her? Nobody. The husband didn't give it to her. The husband did not gift the field to the wife that you could say, gitav hatserah, v'im ki'ada, you could consider it as a netina. So maybe I'll tell you, maybe hatser, even when he does it right, when he puts it in his hatser, then gifts the hatser to her, I'll say maybe that case is no good. Atu gezerah, when he does it the wrong way. Eved, I'm not going to make a gezerah like that. Because the case of the Eved, first of all, is not so shchiyah. Even though you want to consider the Eved like a field, but that's not so shchiyah. So I'm not going to make a gezerah in such a case, add to a case of hatsero, habal leharzimah. And any Eved Gemara comes along and says, that's the chidush of hatser, that we don't make a gezerah. V'yashmi'inan hatser, and if you only gave me the case of hatser, have I been had davka hatser? Abad Eved l'gzor kafut atu she'eno kafut. By the Eved case, I might say it's not good, because if I let you do it in the case where he's tied up and sleeping, maybe you'll come to do it in the case where he's not tied up and sleeping, and that's considered Hatser Mehalechet, and Hatser Mehalechet is not Kuneh Kamash Ma'alan. We don't make a Gezerah by Eved as well. Therefore, I need the case of Hatser to tell me we're not Gozer. The case of Hatser that works, the case of Hatser doesn't work, I need the case of Eved that we don't make a Gezerah of Kafut Atu Eno Kafut. The Gemara continues. Amar Abaye. Now Abaye starts to analyze this case of Hatzir. Mechti. Let's analyze. Hatzir mehecha et rabbe. Where do we know that there's a kinyan of a Hatzir at all, that if you throw the get in the Hatzir of the lady, that it's considered a get? Because really, if you look at the Pesukim, the Pesuk says, V'natan biyada. He got to put the get in her hand. Now we're coming along and saying a Hadush. Not only in a hand, but even in a courtyard, it's okay. Well, how do you know that? So the Gemara says, Miyada. We know it from the word miyada. Okay, the Gemara later on is going to make a derashat. The word yada is coming to say not only hand, but even the chatzir, which is considered an extension of the hand. Oh, but Abaye's theory is like this. If it's coming from the word yada, it's only going to work like yada, like her hand can work. Ma yada di'ita ben midata ben ba'al korcha, just like a husband can give her the get willingly in her hand, if she's willingly accepting it, but he could also give her the get against her will. So the mechanics of yada work mirtzona and even ba'al korha. Af chatzera de'ita ben midata ben ba'al korha. So you have to say that chatzer works in those ways as well. Whether she accepts it willingly, right, they put it in a chatzer and she accepts it, or even if it's against her will. Only problem is if that's the case, v'hamatana midata ita ba'al korcha leta. This case over here, where let's say the lady now, she's getting gifted a chatzer. A gift you can only receive willingly. You cannot accept a gift against your will. And therefore, you're telling me the case of Hatser, Rava, you're telling me, oh, her Hatser comes into her possession, the get is on the Hatser, it works. Sorry. Since Hatser is working with the same dinim as Yad, it's got to work ben midata, ben shalom midata. But this type of matana, it'll work midata, but it's not going to work ba'al korha, because you can't gift something to a person against their will. And therefore, it should not be koneh according to Abaye. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, "Ma yada di ita begirushin al kurha." Can you put a get in the lady's hand against her will? Absolutely. Af hatzira ba'inan, you need name de leve ben midata ben ba'al kurha. Kegon hatzir shaita shela kodem. For example, what would be a classical case of hatzir against her will? She has a hatzir that she owns. The husband throws the get in the hatzir that she owns already. You could throw it into hatzir even against her will. Oh, that I understand. However, you're giving me a case over here where you're not throwing it into her hatzir that she owns already. First, you're gifting her the hatzir, and after you gift it, then you're saying the get that's in the hatzir will be hers. Hold it. A matana, when you're using hatzir in a matana context, it only works middata, but it doesn't work ba'al korha. And since the whole source of hatzir is from yada, so when you want to use a hatzir in a matana context, it should not be koneh. Which is the only hatzir that's going to work is that it has the same dynamics as yada. Just like yada could be middata and ba'al korha, so a hatzir that could be middata and ba'al korha, for example, she has a hatzir. So just like you could throw it again in her hatzir, and she accepts it willingly, you could also throw it into hatzir against her will. That's the type of hatzir that was included from yada. But you're using hatzir now in the context of a matana, because you're gifting it to hold it. Gifting it, she has to accept it willingly. You can't give a person a gift against their will. Oh, if that's the case, this type of hatzir was not included, and therefore the get should not be a get. That's Abaye's contention. So comes Gemara and says, hold it, but kif la Rav Shimi bar Asher. Shimi bar Asher comes along. Any questions? Ve'a shilichut lekabbalah. We know that just like the husband can send a shaliach to give a get, a lady is able to appoint a shaliach to receive her get. That shaliach is called a shaliach kabbalah. Okay, she's on the receiving end. The middata ita. The lady has to appoint the shaliach kabbalah, meaning it has to be middata ba'al korha leta, right? The shaliach kabbalah cannot accept a get against the will of the lady, obviously. Ve'kahavi shaliach lekabbalah, but still it works. Which is, I'll show you a case that it works only middata, and it doesn't work ba'al korha, and it works. Which is, you're telling me a klal abaye. You're telling me that what? That for a get to work, it has to work ben middata, ben ba'al korha. That's why matana doesn't fit that model. But what are you talking? Shaliach kabbalah only works when she appointed, but it doesn't work when it's ba'al korha. Let's say the shaliach kabbalah accepts the get, she didn't appoint her. It's against the will. It doesn't work. And still the shaliach kabbalah, when she appoints, works. So you see, you don't have to have ben middata, ben ba'al korha. Even a shaliach kabbalah that doesn't work against the will still works middata. So say the same thing by the hatzir. Even though it only works when she wants to receive the matana willingly, it doesn't work against the will, so it should work. To that, the Gemara says, no question. V'abaye, atu shlihut miyada itrabeh. Very good. I'll tell you that, how do we know a shaliach kabbalah? How do we know this concept works at all? We learn it from a special pasuk because it says v'shileha. It says the husband sends the wife out. The pasuk just could have said v'shilach. And the fact that it says the extra he, v'shileha, we learn that what? You can even give the get to her agent. And therefore, we're not learning shlihut of kabbalah from the word yada. My problem by here says was stuff that you learn from yada has to be like yada. Ma yada ledata and bal korcha. And where do you learn chatzir from? From yada. So it's got to fit that model. You bring me a question from shaliach kabbalah? Shaliach kabbalah is a different source. It's not learning from yada. So therefore you're not bound by the same model. That's the first answer of Abaye. Second answer of Abaye. V'ibaitema shlihut lekabbalah nameh ashkehan ba'al korha sheken av mekabel get lebito ketana ba'al korha. I can give you another answer. You know what the second answer is? Really, I'll tell you. You know how you know shliach kabbalah from the word yada also. that what? Just like her hand? Anything that's an extension of her hand, like her shaliyah, also is okay. Oh, but if you're learning from the model, yada, it's got to be a type of item that works. Middata and even Baal Kurha. I thought shlihut kabbalah cannot be against their will. You know what Abayah says? It can. Give me a case that it can. The father is able to receive the get of his minor daughter against the will. So therefore you see, even shaliyah kabbalah has that dynamic. So therefore comes out, according to Abayah, Abayah is going to say like this. The case of the chatzir, where he gifts her the chatzir, and then the get is in the chatzir. Well, for that matter, the case of the Eved, Abayah is saying the case is not going to work. That type of chatzir is not going to get. You know why? Because it doesn't work Baal Korha. Rabbi will come along and say, no, it does work. And Abayah's contention was, what are you talking? The whole rule of chatzir was learned from Yad. Yad only works in a case, you have to have a case of middata. This only works middata. So that's Shimi said, what are you talking about? Sharia Kabbalah only works middata and doesn't work Baal Quran. Still you see that it works. So Abayah says, that's what you're asking me? Number one, Shlihut does not learn from Yada. So it doesn't have the same model. Secondly, even if you want to say it is from Yada, it is Baal Korha. In the case of what? A daughter that's a minor, the father can be her receiver for the get, even against the will. So come down, we have a fantastic mahlukat Abayin Rava in the case of a chatzir. Everybody will agree if it's her chatzir and the husband throws it in against the will. That's vaday. Migureshit Baal Korha. The hidush over here is, even in a case where he gives her the chatzir, Rava is going to say, Gita v'chatzira ba'im ke'echad. Abayah contends, sorry, that case no good. Why? Because that case can only work if it's willingly, because you can't give a person a matana against their will. And since we're learning chatzir from Yada, it's got to have the mechanics of Yada that can work even against their will. This case of chatzir doesn't work against their will. Therefore, he holds not kone. Comes the Gemara and continues from a quote from the Mishnah. We learned al ha'ale shil zayit. What do we say in the Mishnah? You write the get on an olive leaf. He said it's okay. Or keren para, the horn of a cow. And we say then you give her the cow. Or you write it on the hand of an eved, and you give her the eved. So comes the Gemara and says, Bishlama yad de eved. I understand the case of the eved. Lo efshar limiksiyeh. You can't cut the hand off of the eved and give her the hand because it is asur to damage one's eved. We know that she says on the top, he gives a sevara, this shayach b'mitzvot. Number one, because an eved is part of the Torah, is part of the mitzvot. V'enu rashay l'chabel bo. You cannot cause a damage to the eved. V'im chabal bo yotzir l'chayrut b'rashay evarim. And even so, if a person, if an owner damages his eved, for example, cuts his hand off, he would go out free. Alma enu rashay lechabel. If he goes out free, that shows us he's not allowed to do that. And therefore, I understand why you're telling me in the Mishnah, you got to give him the whole eved. Because what are you going to do? You can't cut the hand off and just give her a hand with a get on it. Okay, because it's asud. However, the Gemara says, Ela keren shel para. But when it came to the horn of the cow, very, why has he got to give it a whole cow? Let him write the get on the horn of the cow. Let him cut it off and give it a horn. What do you got to give her the whole cow? The eved, you have no choice. But the horn, you're allowed to cut off a horn. That's the Gemara's question. Gemara says, Amar kerav v'chatav v'natan la. Right? The Torah says back to back. You got to write it and you got to give it. Mi she'enu mehusar ela ketiba v'nitina yatsa ze she'mehusar ketiba ketzitza v'nitina. In this case over here, there's a break in the action. You wrote it on the keren shel para. Now you gotta cut it, and then you're gonna give it. That's already a problem. Which means if you cut it before, that's fine. However, if you're planning, that's the way I'm explaining over here, from the Ramban. If you're planning on cutting it, right? You wrote it. Now you give the whole cow. it's not going to be good, because bottom line, since your intention is only to give her the keren itself, and that's mechutzar ketzitza, no good. So the only way you could ride it on the horn of a cow is if you, and you don't want to cut it off, you got to give her the whole entire cow. You can't ride it, leave it on there, just give her the whole cow, because no, your intention was to give her the keren. And the keren is mechutzar ketzitza. So it's like what? It's like you wrote a ketiva mechusar ketzitza with a netina. No good. That's why the Gemara makes a difference between the cow, that either you got to give it a whole thing, and the, and that's why you don't let you cut it off. Because now again, if you would cut it off first and ride it, then of course you have no problem. But we're talking about a case over here where the guy didn't cut it off. He didn't cut it off. You got to give her the whole entire cow. Look at the top to support for a second. Just to give us a point, why did the Mishnah give an example where you wrote a get on an ale zayit, on a an olive leaf? So Tosfot says, "Davka ale shel zayit vechayotzebo dimitkeyim." Seems that it's durable, the ale shel zayit, but stays. Kedetanya betosefta al ale shel zayit veharuv vedalat vechol davar shu shel kayama kasher. Aval ale shel kirishin ubetzalim, like an onion leaf and things like that. So they didn't just pick it arbitrarily. The reason why they picked the zayit because it's more sturdy and therefore the ged can stay on such a ali. Okay, now we have a quote from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Gilili Omer. Rabbi Yosef Gilili Shita was like this. En kotvin et haget lo al davar shesh bo ruach hayim. You cannot write a ged on any living object. Ve'lo ala ochlim, and not on ma'achal. That was Rabbi Yosef Gili Shita at the end of the Mishnah. So the cow obviously is not a good case as well, nor will let you write it on a foodstuff. Okay, or for that matter, an eved also will not be good according to Rabbi Yosef. Any living creature, get doesn't work. Any foodstuff, no good. Now we got to get the sources and pesukim between the rabbis. So the Gemara says, my tama. Did Rabbi Yosef Gili? What's the reason of Rabbi Yosef Gili? De Tanya Sefer. Right, it says Vechatav la Sefer Kiritut. Now Sefer sounds like on a klaf. En li ela Sefer, meaning right to get on klaf. Minayin lirabot kol davar. How do I know that can come include anything? Talmud Omar Vechatav la mikol makom. When the pasuk says Vechatav la, write for, it doesn't limit it. Write any way you want to write. So therefore, we have contradictory words over here. From the word sefer, it's masma only klaf. From vechatavla, write it any way you want. Imken matamudo ma sefer. So if you tell me you can write it on anything, so what do you need the word sefer for? Ma sefer davar she'en bo ruach hayim ve'eno ochel. Af kol davar she'en bo ruach hayim ve'eno ochel. Sefer gives us the restrictions to tell us. It's got to be like sefer. Just like sefer is not a living object and not a food, so too, you can write on any item so long as it's not a living object and a food. So again, vechatav, anything. But what? Anything that's like sefer, that does not have living and does not have food. Good. V'rabbanan, what do the rabbis do? The rabbis say, you can write on anything. Even a foodstuff, even bale chayim. Ikativ, if it would have written, basefer, kedika amart, then already, I agree with you. What is basifid? Look at Rashi 4th line. Ikatab basifid. Mashma, yichtov bichlaf. Umatsit the memar dechida bemevechatav la dumyad deklafu. If it would have said the word basifid, that's telling you it's got to be klaf. And then I could tell you the word vechatav is coming to expand on it, that it's things like klaf. However, hashta dichtiv sefer, but now that it says sefer, it's not even telling you an item. Sefer is a different terminology. L'sfirat devarim hu de'ata. What is sfirat devarim? It's telling you over here what you got to write, not what you write on. Sefer means like a sipur. See, like a story. It's telling you, you got to write, you know, I want to give a divorce over here to Kiritut, or go away, don't come back. Anyway, you have to write in the get. So then when he learns the word sefer is not restricting anything. What is it? Bas sefer is telling you what you got to write in. That's klaf. Oh, And then Ketivah would tell me anything, and I could stop making Libya Sigiri. Ketivah is anything. Anything that's like cloth, no ruachayim, no machal. But it doesn't say basif. It says sefer. Sefer is a different context. Sefer is telling me what? Sipur devarim. You got to write in the get. I am sending you out and don't come back. That's Ahudata. The Rabbanan. Hay vechatav mai avdere. Oh, now we have a problem. Since we have no restriction from the word sefer, so I don't need the word vechatav, which means, what is vechatav coming to teach you? Which means, I don't need a pasuk to tell me you can write on anything, because I don't have a word that's restricting. According to Rabbi Yosei Gedidi, I got a restricting word of sefer, so I need the word vechatav to come and tell me, not only klav is okay, but anything that is like klav, vechatav. But according to the rabbis, nothing's restricting it. The pasuk never limited me at all. So therefore, what is the word vechatav coming to teach me? Don't teach me anything. I know anything already. Why wouldn't I think anything? I never have a restrictive word. So what's the pasuk vechatav coming to teach me according to the rabbis? My avdide mivelehu bichtiva mitgareshet ve'ena mitgareshet bekesef vechatav hadush. She only gets divorced through writing. She cannot get divorced through money. Well, I would have thought that a guy can give his wife money and say, Hare at migureshit, give her $2. Just like he got into it with money, I would say gets out with it with money. Salka datakamina, akish yitziya lahavaya. Right, because the pasuk says, viyatzea vehayeta leishachay. It's a famous connection of two words. It says, she leaves one husband, viyatzea, and she gets married to somebody else. So the Gemara always makes a connection between Yitzi'ah and Havayah, leaving and getting in. So I would say, Ma Havayah Bekesef, just like she gets into a marriage with money, Af Yitzi'ah Nami Bekesef. So too she gets out with money as well. Kamash Ma'alan Bechatav, to teach me, no, it's only through writing. Oh, the Idach, Rabbi Yosei Gedidi, you learn from the word Bechatav to teach me that even more things than klav, vechatav, you know, not only klav, but even things that are similar to klav, right? Vechatav, also, how do you know the law that she cannot be megareshet, vekesef? Nafkele mesefer kiritut. From two words, from the fact that there's a juxtaposition, there's a simichut between the words sefer kiritut. What does sefer kiritut teach me? Sefer korta, ve'en davar acher korta. It's the klav that breaks the relationship, and nothing else. So he learns it from the connection of the two words, sefer kiritut. The sefer breaks it, nothing else. Oh, v'idach. Oh, what does Rabbanan learn from the connection between the two words of sefer kiritut? Mev'ele davar akoret beno lebena. It's got to be kiritut. It's got to be conclusive. It's got to be a type of get that there's a break. As opposed to what? Kedetanya. I'm giving you the get on condition you never drink wine again. Or you never go to your parents' home again. Le'olam. Forever. En zekiritut. Why? Because she's on the hook with this condition forever. He never made a full break. There's still strings attached. However, ad sheloshim yom, hare zekiritut. But if it's only a 30-day condition, it's a get. Why? Because there's no, after 30 days, there's no strings, which means there's a cutoff. So that's what the rabbis learn from the word sefer kiritut. It's got to be a break that there's no strings attached. V'idach, or how does the Biosegili know this? Mekaret kiritut. Because the pasuk could have just said, mekatav la sefer karet. The fact that it's like a double language, kiritut, I could learn that, well, it's got to be davar a karet. The Idach, what do the rabbis do with the double language? Karet kiritut lo darshi. They don't do this karet kiritut. It's not mashma to them. So basically you see over here the concept of the machloket between the banan and the biyoseh agilidi. Comes the next Mishnah. And kodvim b'mechubar lekarka. Good. You're not allowed to write on something that is attached to the ground. Because we learned in the pasuk, Vechatav v'natan, there cannot be a kitzitza, a cutting in between the ketiva and the netina. Now, katvo b'mechubar, if you wrote it on something that was attached, tilasho, you pulled it out of the ground, v'hatmo, and you signed the witnesses, v'natno la kashir. Now the Gemara is going to have an obvious contradiction. You just told me you can't write it on something that's attached to the ground. Then you tell me in the next sentence, and if you wrote it on something that's attached to the ground, you cut it off, you signed it, it's okay. Make up your mind. Can you write it on something that's attached or not? Tosfot, if you remember on this case, had an interesting point earlier in the Masechet. It said, you wrote it when it was attached. Telasho, you pulled it out of the ground. Vehatmo, and then you signed it. Venatnona kashir. Now, isn't that obvious? If you wrote it when it was attached and then you pulled it off, it's obvious that you signed it when it was talush, when it was detached. So Tosfot says no, because there could be a case where you could sign it when it was detached. I'm sorry, when it's attached, pull it off, and then you're able to replant it in the ground again. So you cannot take it for granted. It's possible that you could have a ketivah. I'll give you a case, a different case. Actually, it's not on this case. It's a ketivah betalush and a hatimah bemechubab. You could have a case where you pulled it off, wrote it, replanted it, and signed it. Okay, but that's not for this case. In any event, the Biyuda posel, the Biyuda says, no good. Ad shetep ketivato v'atimato betalush. He says both the ketivah and the hatimah has to be betalush. Now, the Biyuda ben Betera omer, and kotvin, you're not allowed to write a get. Lo ala niyar mahuk, not on niyar mahuk. What is niyar mahuk? That is a paper that you're allowed, that you're able to erase, and you're not able to notice the erasure. Velo ala diftera. Diftera is also a type of a parchment where you cannot tell if it was erased. Because it's forgeable. Which means, obviously, if you cannot tell the erasure, so what's going to happen? You can start erasing things, change the conditions over here, and therefore it's not going to be good. The rabbis say it's okay. Let's read Rashi and conclude here. Niyar mahuk yachol la'azor v'lemuhko ad aidim. What are you going to do now? Which means like this. Let me explain you the case over here. Excuse me. Let me explain the case of Niyar mahuk. Niyar mahuk means it was a piece of parchment that was erased already. Which means it was used the parchment like, where already there was an eraser on the parchment once. So you say, what's the problem? Now it's erased. Now I'm starting from scratch. No, because if it's an erased document, it's not a document that you cannot notice, like I explained earlier. I'm changing my explanation. Niyar mahuk means it's a niyar that was erased once already. What's the problem if you use a document that was erased once? Look at that sheet. Because I'm concerned what? You're going to erase it again up into the witnesses, and you're going to rewrite it. You're going to take away some of the conditions that were there, and the people are not going to realize that you erased it, because even when the signatures are, it's erased. Understand the case? If the whole document is erased, are the witnesses signed on an erased part? Yes. So what am I going to do now? I'll erase the top part. By erasing the top part, I'll add some more conditions in there. Now the people are looking at the shtar, they say, hey, this shtar is erased. Oh, but sorry, the witness is also signing on the erased part. So you're not going to think twice of it. And therefore, you're going to have a problem. Now, incidentally, the Gemara Baba Batra says this is only a problem by Gitin, not a problem by Shah Shtarot. Because we could assume by Shah Shtarot that's done in bedding, they'll distinguish between double erasure and single erasure, which is where the condition was changed, it's already erased it twice. However, a get that can be done beno lebena, you know, just between the husband and the wife and just with two witnesses, we're concerned that they might not be able to discern the difference between a double erasure and a single erasure. And he goes, it was all erased, and they deem signed under the normal condition. Therefore, if it's not mahuk or diftera, no good. Akamim say it is kasher. The Gemara will explain the mahlok. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.